Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Mediation Module Development in WebSphere Integration Developer. Today's presenter is Frank Ta. Frank is responsible for resolving product-related defects and providing advice to customers on SCA project development issues. He works closely with development to drive product and quality enhancements. As a member of the WebSphere support team since 2004, he handles customer-related problems, how-to questions, and best practices related to the WID product, including mediation module development. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Frank.
Good morning, everybody. I am Level 2 Support for WebSphere Integration Developer. Today, we're going to take a look at the mediation module development within the WebSphere Integration Developer. Slide 2, we have the agenda. In the mediation flow, the application data is handled by a predefined data object called the service message object. It is necessary to understand the structure of the SMO in order to develop a good mediation. For today, we're going to take a look at the service message object structure. A mediation flow uses several predefined components called primitives to route and transfer messages. Other primitives are also available for error handling, logging, and tracing purposes. We are going to take a look at some of the several use cases that uses these primitives. On slide 3, what is a mediation module? Mediation application contains more than one mediation module. Mediation modules are self-contained deployable projects that contain mediation flows. They can be deployed on WebSphere process server or WebSphere enterprise service bus. Mediation module usually contains the following components. Mediation flow component itself, expert that exposes the mediation module to service requester, import that identifies the service provider and their interfaces, and it can contain a simple Java component, POJO. Mediation flow intercepts and modifies messages that pass between existing service providers and clients, most commonly used for transforming data and access header information, transforming a message from one format to another, conditionally routing message to one or more targets based on the content of the message, aggregating a message from additional data sources. Mediation primitives using the flow processes the message in a service message object. Service message objects are enhanced service data objects, and the SMO model is a pattern for using service data object to represent the messages. Slide 4. The service message object is actually an enhanced message business object that contains the message payload and header information. The header contains information about the transfer protocol, use teamwork of service, and mediation exception information. Service message object provides the interface to access and modify message payloads and headers. All SMOs have the same basic structure. The structure consists of root data object called service message object, which contains other data objects representing the header, body, attachment, and context data. Slide number 5. We are going to take a look at the SMO structure to what kind of information it contains and what kind of business definitions are in there. First, the header information. The SMO has its own header information for runtime purposes. Based on the mediation flow import or export binding, you can access the message header information via the bindings. There are several contexts available that lets mediation primitive pass data, and it's not the part of the message payload itself, but passes between themselves. There are system-defined contexts and user-defined contexts. System-defined context, failing for context, is used called runtime exception information, can be accessed. The primitive context, used for dynamic routing, and if a fan-out primitive is used, used for occurrence of one entry if an array is processed. Dynamic property, the mediation policy information that's used to override prompted property. There are several user-defined contexts available. User-defined contexts will hold the information outside of the body information of the message. Transient context passes values between mediation primitives, either in a request or a response flow. Correlation context passes values from request flow to response flow. A shared context is most likely used for data aggregation. It's thread-based, either in the request or the response flow. A couple of exceptions to the shared context that will not be presented. If there is an async call with a callback functionality, there is a new thread created, so the shared context will be deleted and wiped out. Or if the servicing of primitive is invoked outside of the fan-out fan-in context. User context can be passing values between SCA components within modules. Data is actually the data type defined for the actual data that's processed. Based on the interface that we have WSDLF and your language. Also, the attachment can be, for example, a JPEG file, some kind of a file, can come like from a SOAP message. Slide number 6. First example is an aggregation example. A very simple scenario set up for one customer input, receive all the orders for the customer. For each order, retrieve all shipping information. Populate a shared context with the retrieved data and save it for further processing. As you can see, the original input to start the flow is one customer. One customer can have multiple shipping orders, and each shipping order can have multiple shipping items. On the right side, we have to define the shared context as a business object, and the shared shipment confirmation business object will contain a current shipping order corresponding to a shipping order and an aggregation of shipping orders and array. Slide number 7, please. As you can see the assembly diagram, we have an export, start the flow, mediation flow component, and an import. Notice the import interface contains two interfaces. This is usually in a case you can have separated interfaces, different bindings, most likely to go and retrieve from database component data. Slide number 8. So as I mentioned, notice the import definition has two interfaces defined for it. You can see it in the properties menu. Ship items, get ship items, and ship orders is the operational get ship orders. This usually will be defined as separate import statements with some kind of a binding, JDBC adapter binding or some other adapter binding to retrieve data from the database. Slide number 8. Now the mediation flow has a mediation flow request flow and a response flow. The request flow starts up by defining the shared context on the input primitive. The next step is an XSLT transformation that takes the customer input and transforms it into an order retrieval input formation. The callout module will actually retrieve all orders for that one customer. Next slide, please. Now, on the response side, the order information comes in as an array of orders. We have to iterate through of the array of orders, and for this, we're going to use a fan-out fan-in module. Notice the fan-out module has its properties set for each element in express expression, meaning for the body's response for the orders, the fan-out module will iterate through each order and process it one by one. To select this, you can use the express editor to select the expression to iterate through the array. Slide number 10. Slide number 10 shows the express editor selection. Notice the shipping order is zero to many occurrences here. So we're going to process through the array. Number 11 slide, please. After the fan-out module, we're going to use another XSL transformation to create the shipping input from the orders. And using the service invoke primitive, we actually invoke the service order shipping information retrieval. After the shipping information retrieval is successful, we're going to use another XSL transformation to move the shipping information for the current order to the shared context and save it there. Slide 12. On slide 12, the XSL transformation method is used to save the content into the current orders of shared context. As you can see at the bottom, through the loop, there's a for each loop, plus another submapping for each entry in space. Slide number 13, please. The aggregation actually is set in the shared context using a service message primitive. And notice at the bottom in the properties, we use an append using the XSSator to select the selection. This can be seen on slide number 14. The Express Editor, there are several actions available. One is append, the currently saved array of shipping orders. So the target will be the shipping order array, and the source will be the current shipping order with append of all the shipping order arrays. This can be selected in the Express Editor. Slide number 15. Here's the final result after the process is gone through. On the left side, you can see the actual dumped SMO into the amount log file or to the console. Only a partial printout. The restrictions are on the right side, I used test component wizard to test radiation flow and showed the final result of the run. The shared context now is completed. All the orders or shippings for each order is shared in the safe context for further processing. Slide number 16. The next use case scenario is an asynchronous call. A very simple scenario for all customers, create a GMS map body type GMS message and put the messages in a GMS queue. Each map entry corresponds to the element of one customer. GMS messages can have different type of GMS message definition. In this case, we're using the GMS map body definition. The interesting thing about this is that if you look at the one customer business object definition, for each element in a GMS map entry, you have to create a name for the element, a type, which can be only a simple Java type element, and the value actually contains data value of the input on customer. Slide 17, please. To define a GMS message type, you have to import the predefined GMS message type schema definition into a library project and in the dependency editor. And that shows the selection, the right side, selecting schema. And they bring you in project schema definition for all GMS. Slide number 8. Again, the assembly editor is shown here with a simple export to start the process, a message code definition, and a GMS binding import. Notice that the default data format handler can be selected as wrapped map entry GMS type. Line number 19. This is defined as a one-way process, so there is only a request flow available here. For all the customers, we have to aggregate through the array again, get one customer's data, and create the GMS net body type. A shared context for the input primitive is defined DMS map body. We are using a fan-out process here again, segregate through the arrays. Next component just dumps this SMO body into the console to print it out. Slide number 20, please. We have to use a custom mediation for this because there is no other way to handle and create the GMS map body type business object. And we share it in a shared context. Once we share it in a shared context, the service involved will actually put the message to continue processing to the next element of the array. Slide number 21. On the left side, Java custom code is shown how to create the GMS map body and put the data in there using the actual input data. On the right side, there is a transformation method with a simple move to move it to the shared context and create the body for the input that goes into the queue. Slide number 22. Here's the runtime results that you can see. The message arrived on the SID bus, and the message format corresponds to the GMS map body definition. This was a simple asynchronous call. Slide number 23, please. Here's a use case scenario for asynchronous calls with deferred response. Again, the assembly diagram shows an export to the workflow, mediation flow component, and an import with an MQ binding. In this scenario, we're going to use an MQ server to put the messages on the queues. Slide number 24, please. It's a very simple messaging. To start the flow, we're going to use the MQ header setup primitive to set the MQ message header information. Then with a simple service invoke, we're going to put the MQ message on the queue. Slide number 25, please. You can use the MQ header setter to invoke the wizard with the add button and to define the actual MQ header component that you want to set by selecting the header information and setting the actual value in the header information. Slide number 26. This is a similar scenario, setting message header information. This is a SOAP header setter element primitive usage that we set the SOAP header information. Again, in the assembly diagram, there's a SOAP header setter primitive that you can use. The next primitive is a custom primitive. The reason is there are two primitives used here just to demonstrate that you can use the SOAP header setter primitive to set the header information, or you can use a custom mediation primitive to more dynamically set the same header information. Use the add button to invoke the wizard again for the SOAP header setter primitive. Next slide, 27, please. As you can see, the SOAP header information wizard, you can select different information and populate the header information here. The only problem that this is like a hard-coded value, and once it's set, it cannot be changed during the flow at runtime. Slide number 28, please. If you want to use a more dynamic header setting information, you can use a custom Java code, and this is based on the CommonJS SDO API. Step number one will create an instance of the header type of the SOAP header. Step number two, using the BO factory, you can create your actual header information defined in your business object. Data type on request header and identity header. Next step is to populate the request and identity header with data. And set the data object, set the header information in the SMO. Slide number 29, please. Here we're going to take a look at the data handler primitive that's used to convert an element or a message from a physical format to a logical structure, or from a logical structure to a physical format. The input here is a simple string to start the process. The simple string actually contains an XML definition of the simple string. The data handler primitive will take this simple string and parse it into a business object structure containing the data. As you can see, on the data handler properties, you have to select an action, convert string data into a business object, or vice versa. The source list has to be defined as the input to the process. The target has to be defined as the business object that you want to convert it into. Slide number 30. Here is the actual input data, XML format, that will be passed into the process starting input on the simple string. On the other side, you can see the XML data type business object definition that it will be parsed into. Slide number 31. Make sure that you select the bright BO definition for the corresponding input. If the schema definition defines the response as a type XML data type, you can actually select the body response, but notice the difference if the correct level is selected body response XML data type. The output of the data handler primitive is going to be different. Now, if you're using an XSL transformation that accesses XML data type and tries to, for example, populate the shared context, the incorrect selection will fail to access the data and your shared context will be containing no data. So select the right BO definition for the corresponding input there. Slide number 32, please. The type filter primitive. The type filter primitive is used for mediaship to selectively route messages, meaning for selecting some message based on some message data type, selecting the routing. The data filter, type filter can have several outputs. Slide number 33. Use the Express Editor to select the pattern based on the input data to route to different outputs. The distribution mode entry is two selections here, first or all. If for each record, each input record, if you select the first occurrence, as soon as it hits the first filter that fits the criteria, it will fire up the terminal and ignore the rest of the selections. If all selection is set in distribution mode, it will iterate through, and for each occurrence of the message pattern matching, it will fire up the terminal. So if my record number one is customer ID is equal to 1, and the middle initial is equal to Z, in distribution mode O, it fires up two terminals. That's a different processing for the type filter primitive. Slide number 34. That concludes our presentation. Materials can be found on the website Info Center. Also, Express tutorials can be found at the WW3 site for additional information how to use the Express expressions. Joseph, I would like to turn it over to you.
At this point, Christian, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Show no questions at this time, ma'am.
Thank you, Christian. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.